Good morning and welcome to Green Tea Conversations, the radio show that delves into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine to bring you the local experts who share progressive ideas and the latest insights and information needed so you can lead your best life. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I'm honored to bring these experts to you. Today we're visiting with Carol Burton, the founder of Radiance Resources and host of Radiance Real Talk podcast. Carol is a passionate leader who believes in the power of ethics, equity, and accountability in the workplace. With over two decades of experience in diverse industries, Carol has honed her craft and found her voice, and today guides mission-focused leaders to engage and mentor to create meaningful residual change. Welcome to the show today, Carol.
Thank you for having me, Candy. Truly do appreciate it. I'm excited for this conversation.
As am I. As a fellow organizational development geek, I am intrigued with your approach in guiding others to build their organizations through the lens. You do it through the lens of equity, ethics, and accountability.
Yes.
So let's start there. How did this approach come about for you?
It's been a long journey, and it really came about this past late spring into early summer, when I really started to sit back and look at how our world has continued to evolve and change, how we are attempting to figure out what is our next, how we are creating essentially a new book. What was is no longer. My great-grandmother on my maternal side, great-grandma used to say, used to is dead and it's never coming back. Well, I think those words are quite profound as far as what's happening in our world today. And essentially, I've always wanted to create equity as a daily practice. And that really led me looking at ethics from a very unique perspective. And so my dad asked me a question, you know, Carol, how in the new normal, you know, how do we operate in a pseudo society? In this new normal, if used to is dead and never coming back, how do we do that? And so I had a great conversation with him, and that led me down this road where we talked about ethics. We don't hear about ethics right now. We really don't. My area of focus, of course, is more in the workplace. We definitely don't hear that term. And we hear a little bit about accountability, and how we're deep diving into authenticity. How does that look? What does that look like? So I started to really congeal and pull these together. And I thought, you know, what would happen if we would put ethics and equity together? And then I said, how would that look as far as taking equity out of its normal definition to have it become a qualitative skill as opposed to a quantitative result? And so I thought, then if I took ROI, return on investment, from the qualitative mindset into the quantitative perspective, basically flipping the two, what could that look like as far as how organizations, people, teams, and the company culture in this case, or community culture from the greater perspective, take on what equity looks like as a daily practice. Ergo, I had to step it back and figure out about equity being tied to ROI, being tied to how we communicate. And then that kind of led me down the road of our why, right? And figuring out our purpose. So it became really multi-layered, but really it's about how I'm connecting and bridging through the use of the vehicle of communication of equity and ROI to get a different result. And for us to be mindful in a different way as we create this new book.
Right. So for people who may not be familiar with the terms, what does ROI mean and why is it important in business?
Sure. So the return on the investment is really simply in the business world is if we create this product to solve this customer's problem, how much are we investing in that, in the creative process of that, working and connecting with that client or that customer, if you will. And then how much the margin, how much that gap, how much do we make or not make money-wise in that investment? From a cultural, a company cultural perspective, is how do we treat our employees? If we treat them well, they're going to come and want to what? Produce. Mm-hmm. We want them to produce. So therefore, if there is a return on the investment in far as investing in others, in who they are, what their talents are, what their talents bring to the organization, community, family, in this case, then the return on the investment is a win-win potentially for everyone. In this case, in the workplace, the client, the business, the employee, the organization itself, the vendors, the suppliers. And so it's an entire ecosystem of right. what that return on investment looks like. So it's very holistic from that perspective.
And so when we're talking about ethics and equity and accountability,
yes,
how do you define equity?
Sure. So for me, so I went back, always go back, as a researcher, I always do this. I always go and inspect and deep dive in. The traditional definition of equity is the quality of being fair and impartial, mm-hmm. just really flat. That's what it means. In this context, I move that into a construct, if you will, to say equity is a balance of ensuring there is a level playing field that is fair to everyone so that they are seen, heard, and valued.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a stepping out of the me being me-centered to becoming we-centered. And then I thought, that is the evolution of what is next. So some people think that equity is stemmed from the Platinum Rule. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Tony Alessandria created the Platinum Rule, which was created in 1996. So we know the Golden Rule has been around for over 10,000 years. And the Golden Rule is treat others as they will want to be treated. The Platinum Rule takes, in my mind, takes it to its next level. So we move from the I to the we. Because right. if with the Platinum Rule, it's treat others as they want to be treated. So it's stepping into that person's shoes. It's stepping and looking through their lens of how they see life, how they interpret life. And so therefore, that's when I add it on. When we focus on the we,
right.
I know that I am taken care of because I am part of the we. It doesn't need to be about me because I am the we. And the we includes me. So it's taking the me, stepping it into the we, because I've already done the work of the Golden Rule. This is, for me, it's taking us to our next level into the Platinum Rule. In my brain, that is equity, very simply put. And so that's how I've been basically pushing and pulling and evolving what equity looks like. Because the one thing that I found in the workplace, and I'm assuming a lot of people who are listening probably have seen the same thing, many times in the workplace or in communities, people are not often seen, heard, or valued. And yes. when they're not, that's when they leave those organizations, those families, those communities. They leave because if they don't feel the trust of whomever the leader is, then there's nothing in it for them. And if they don't feel that they can contribute holistically and bring their values to the table, their talents to the table, then why should I even be here?
Right. And that really is the most fundamental and innate need that we as human beings have, is that need to be seen, heard, and understood.
Absolutely.
And you see this with across all generations. You
Definitely.
See this with kids. Kids get Definitely. Really frustrated when they feel like they're not being understood.
Yes.
So with this approach, really taking this approach from that ethics, equity, and accountability standpoint,
yes.
how does that translate into our personal lives as well?
You know, that's funny. I'm happy that you brought that question up. I think from a fundamental perspective, equity, in my mind, is connected to accountability in how we choose, mm-hmm. how we choose to be responsible, how we choose to internally align ourselves with that. And so for me, the ethics piece is the morals, it's the mores, it's the values. What do I centrically value? And I take it to the next step within the platinum rule of the equity space of, and how does that translate to other people?
What do they value?
From the I to the E, we, mm-hmm. of what they value. And to agree to disagree. As an example, my mother never allowed my sister and I, we are 9 years apart, to argue, because she wanted us to work together as a unit. And so we agree to disagree, but we always come to a conclusion.
You always come back together in it.
Absolutely.
Well, Carol, we're going to have to head into a break right now. But when we come back, we're going to continue to learn how we can create. Actually, we are going to start to learn how we can create a daily equity practice in our lives. So to learn more about what Carol, about Carol and the work she does, visit radianceresources.org. To read the online version of Natural Awakenings magazine, visit naturaltwincities.com. You can find a podcast of this show on am950radio.com, on Apple and Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, and we are talking with Carol Burton, the founder of Radiance Resources and host of Radiance Real Talk podcast. So before we get back into the meat of things, I really want to congratulate you on Radiance Real Talk podcast. It is a fantastic podcast. I've listened to several of the episodes already, and I'll go back and listen to even more of them. But the thing that I love about it is they're 15 minutes long. So this really quick listen that yes. packs in just a ton of information. And I'm just really impressed with that, Carol. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for listening.
Yes. Thanks. So for people who want to learn more, they can go to anywhere they get their podcasts. So Google Podcasts, yes. Apple Podcasts, just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. You have several of the places on your website. So when yes. they go to your website, they'll see that as well. But I highly recommend it, especially for leaders in organizations, leaders in any kind of organization, whether it's a personal or professional one. You just provide a lot of information in a short amount of time. So
thank you.
Want to let people know about that. But before the break, we were starting to focus, we were talking about how you are helping organizations utilizing ethics, equity, and accountability for success. And now I understand that you have a new focus, a new program that you've been working on how to create a daily equity practice. And this is really a five-part series that you had developed. How did this all come about?
Yes. So As I have continued to evolve equity in my own life, I started sharing what would it look like to have a daily equity practice in the workplace so that, again, employees and employers and teams and divisions and groups, you know, really make sure that each employee who is contributing to the organization is seen, heard, and valued. From that, I shared this with a woman who is also an executive coach who has been on her own equity journey regarding and since George Floyd's murder and the awareness of her as a white person and others who are fantastic leaders who are really attempting to search what does all of this mean? And how am I impacted? How am I impacting? And so I shared with one person about how, you know, I think it would be great if we could figure out a way to create a daily practice utilizing equity from a very unique way. Well, a few days later, that person came back to me and said, well, Carol, have you created the practice? I said, practice? She said, as far as for me, like for me as a center, the internal self, I said, oh, I hadn't thought about that. I was just thinking it from, you know, an organizational perspective as a team creating this practice. And so that sent me down this journey to actually create, as you said, a 5-part series that I'm literally developing as we speak with a person. And what we've come up with so far is, you know, how do you opt in? You know, from that perspective, and it doesn't matter if it's communication, if it's from racism, if it's from, I just want to be a better person. How do I choose to opt in? What does that look like? And be comfortable in being uncomfortable. We've all found ourselves in amazing situations where life didn't happen well. Something happened and we got blindsided and we kind of go into I call it the suspension stage. And you just float. I don't know if anyone's ever experienced that, but I have a few times in my life.
Oh, sure.
And I realized that once I became comfortable in being uncomfortable, I opted in to being uncomfortable and letting the uncomfortability, yes, I make up words.
It's a good word.
Thank you. I allowed being uncomfortable, allowing myself to be uncomfortable, to be comfortable in it. And that's where I realized I was going all the way down deep inside to start to make the shift and to adapt into the new self, into my new change. And so that takes a lot of vulnerability. And it also takes on, why am I, you know, what is my purpose and why is that so important? So it connects a few things for me. And so then I thought, well, wait a minute, if I'm going to opt in, then therefore I have to be accountable for my own actions. And sometimes there might be some shame. Sometimes there may even be grief as I let go of what was to where I am now. Again, that's still being uncomfortable and starting to be comfortable in that uncomfortability space. And then I worked and looked into, well, if I'm going to be opting in, and really looking at who I'm being and where I'm existing, and I'm going to be accountable for that, then maybe it's a way for me to start saying, well, how does this align with what I'm really supposed to do? And how it basically it's adapting. So it's taking on the other theory that I work on is the adaptability mode is an adaptable leader, where you're not looking from a bigger perspective because I'm looking down at someone. No, it's to understand the why. From a greater perspective, from a broader perspective of the why. And that's how I adapt to make the change. And then from there, it's just really starting to say, well, what does that look like on a daily basis? So I started to say, do I listen to people well? Do I effectively hear what they're saying? What is their communication style? Some people call it, you know, your love language. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And how am I, as an active person, involved with that other human being, regardless if it's how I email someone, if it's how I talk to someone, if it's how I gesture, even my non-verbals, that's all communication. So I really started to look at the daily practice from the communication lens. And that's how it's evolved thus far.
That is really so interesting. You know, as coaches, we always talk about there's several steps to making change in your life. And you really outlined that very nicely in this approach, which is really looking at it from a lens of the first thing we need to do is become aware. So become aware of what is happening, why we're feeling the way we are, why we decide to opt in or opt out. Why we're feeling so uncomfortable or vulnerable or any of the rest of that idea. And then the second part of that is to accept it. So there's a lot of acceptance that we need to do around just helping us to feel okay with where things are at, to accept that this is what's happening now. And so I can either fight against it and really go nowhere, or I can accept it and start to move forward. So you talk about that. And then the third point is just being able to really take a look at making a conscious choice of saying, now that I see it, now that I accept it, now I get to make a choice as to what I'm going to do. And we all make choices every day. So we get to decide consciously what type of choice we want to make. So this is really interesting, and I want to get into this even a little bit deeper in our next segment. But for people who want to learn more about what Carol and the work she does, visit radianceresources.org. To read the online version of Natural Awakenings magazine, visit naturaltwincities.com. You can find a podcast of this show on am950radio.com, on Apple and Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, and today we're talking with Carol Burton, the founder of Radiance Resources and host of Radiance Real Talk podcast. So just before the break, Carol, you were starting to share with us about the 5-part series that you are creating on helping us to create a daily equity practice. And now I think we want to get into these steps just a little bit deeper. So coming back to the opting in concept, so whether or not we decide to opt in. And I want you to kind of go into that a little bit more for us.
Okay. So opt in, on its surface, is very basic. It's a choice. It's simply a choice to opt in or not to opt in. And because we were given that choice, I guess it all depends on how deep we want to go. A gentleman by the name of Frederick Hudson, back in the early 90s, he and a group of thinkers really talked about how learning continues throughout all adult life. There was a theory way back when that, you know, you stopped learning at the age of 18, AKA when you graduated from high school. And they realized, well, no, that may not be a truth. It is an idea. It may not be a truth. So he went on this journey, if you will, and created this really fantastic model. And it's a renewal cycle model where we go through the 4 steps of transition and change. And one of the options, one of the transitions, one of the phases is called being stuck in the doldrums. And it is really letting go of what was. And I really deep dove into that space because it talked about being uncomfortable. And again, me choosing to be uncomfortable. And when Frederick said, when we're stuck in the doldrums, we let things go. We start really looking internally to say, what was it that I got out of that experience? What was it that I was supposed to learn that I wasn't listening during that experience? And the why. And so I've been in a situation a few years ago where I made a monster transition. And that was where I stayed in nothing for about 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I chose to go down that path. I chose to ask myself questions. I chose to get raw and vulnerable. And for me, that was all part of the opting in by choice. I could have run away. I didn't, because I knew that I wouldn't go anywhere. Nothing would get done if I did. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I know that as hard as that was to look at my own faults, to look at my own strengths, and to figure out how I chose to evolve, literally helped me create Radiance Resources, to be bluntly honest. Mm-hmm. And that visceral work had to happen because I chose to opt in fully.
You know, it's so interesting as you're talking about this. I think about 2020 has just really been a year, mm-hmm, of being forced.
Yes.
You know, many of us have been, yes, forced to make significant changes in our lives.
Yes.
in order to just, you know, there are, I talk to people every day who say, I've thought about doing this for a long time and now everything else has changed and I'm ready to do it. It's like, we've been thinking about making change, thinking about doing something different, and now we are forced into it. We're thrown in. Yes,
absolutely, because the rules of the game have gone. The rules are gone. There are no rules right now. And it's fantastic in that sense that we can get raw and we don't have to wear makeup. We don't have to look good. It's all about the internal work and how we're internally connecting with each other. And it's fabulous because it, to me, is this renewal of the human spirit and humanity. That's what I see the positive of this.
Yes, and I do too. I mean, I see this as the opportunity for us to go in a direction that we may not have thought about going.
Correct.
Or thought about going and hadn't taken that step to do it. And now it's like, there's nothing else that's the same, but it's uncomfortable. It's really, really hard to do it. Change is very hard.
It is. It is. And I think the biggest step in take the first step, gosh, that first step is always so hard. And it's literally lifting, imagining yourself lifting your leg and literally moving your leg into nothing to step into whatever it is. And for me, I found that that is a choice.
Yes.
And it's knowing, and it's that inner self-confidence that I've got this. I can do this. I know I can do this. I've got everything I need. I was actually going to go chase the PhD, and a woman said to me, Carol, you've got everything you need. You don't need that. You don't need to do all that work. Just go do it.
Yep.
She was absolutely right. So I deep dove, and I've been learning along the way, and it's been hard. But who else is going to take the risk but me? I've got to take the risk up on. I've got to take the risk for me, by me, because of me, to fulfill my purpose.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And I think, you know, it's really interesting because we feel when change is coming so quickly, when there's so many things that are changing, it feels like it's being forced upon us.
Yes.
And we just really want to rebel against that. It's almost like, it feels like there's almost a death that has happened. Like everything I thought was going to be is no longer going to be.
It kind of is. And Frederick Hudson talks about that. It is a death of what was. Again, my great-grandmother used to, is dead, is never coming back. So what do we create because of that? And it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to ask for help. I think that that takes care of a lot of the scarcity mindset as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask for help. Right now is the perfect time, actually. If you want to start that business, if you want to go out there and figure out how to find a companion, if you want to take care of your financial house, if you want to spiritually deep dive into a way that you never have, if you want to go get that education, right now is the time. We are being called forth to serve our purpose in ways that we never thought we could. We have created the space for us to look at our luggage. Look at our internal stuff to clean our house. Ian LaVancent said a few months ago, she said, we've been running everywhere. We've been living at home. We've been living at work. We've been living at church. We've been living at the grocery store. We've been living at the shopping mall. We have not lived at home. I took that to say we haven't lived at home internally.
Yes.
As well as externally and environmentally.
Yeah, it is, you know, and that I think is the hardest thing for a lot of people to really to see what's happening is all of this is such a mirror for us.
It really is.
To really just have to take a hard, hard look at what's happening. And you mentioned something, and I want to kind of expand on that a little bit. And you had just kind of mentioned about the scarcity aspect of it.
Yes, the scarcity mindset is fascinating in that I'll just go into the workplace mode, especially with entrepreneurs. I mentor people as well. To be, you know, to give back, to be part of, to learn and to get and to give in a mutual relationship, if you will. And it's funny of how people who say, you know, I want to start this, whatever this is, but I can't tell you anything about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe if it's, you know, having a mobile transportation where you come to people's home and wash their cars. Great idea. Probably not many people are doing it, but I can't tell you anything about it. Well, it doesn't help me if I'm trying to help you, because right. that's your idea. Only you are going to create the path. I'm not going to create the path. So it's okay to share. Or I've heard recently about a scarcity mindset of where children right now during COVID are very concerned that there may not be enough food. And yet their parents are saying there will be enough food. Don't worry about it. We got you. Children, we understand you and we hear you. And we're trying to figure this out as well. So there's all different types of scarcity mindset, if you will, or I can't, you know, the old saying of I'm going to keep it to myself because I don't know if there's going to be enough to go around
for everybody else.
Well, we've seen that actually the inverse is more powerful than the scarcity of the opposite is the more powerful than being the internal. And so that again is taking a risk and being vulnerable.
Yes.
To know that there will be food, quote unquote, there for you to feed from.
It's really interesting because it does go back to, I know for myself, when I was at the college, when I was leading a department at the college, I had one particular instructor who had a very unique curriculum that he had created. And that was like the thing that was going to put us over the edge. And as soon as we had launched it, we got calls from other people saying, how did you do that? Because we want to do it too. And we want to take some of your information. He didn't want to share it because it was so unique. And he wanted, you know, he had that mindset of what happens if they take it from me, there's not going to be enough for me. And we were able to work through that to the point of where he actually became the trainer for the state of Minnesota for that particular curriculum. And so instead of him having it taken away from him, he actually became the expert in it. And that's what's so cool about it. It's like when you get out of that scarcity mindset, you don't know where it's going to go. And so I agree with you, especially working with entrepreneurs. Let's share that, share your ideas, because you don't know who can help you in that next level or who's going to have something that they can, it's complementary to what you're doing and where it might go from there. So now I want to ask you about the adaptability and alignment. So I think most of us understand what adaptability is. But when we talk about alignment, being in alignment with something, what does that mean for you?
Sure. So in that case, adaptability, I actually fuse it through the adaptable leadership model, which is an academic model, one of the 23 leadership models, theories, and styles out there. And adaptability in this case, as an adaptable leader mindset, really looks at how leaders look from a larger, grander perspective of how all of the components work well. They actually are very follower-focused, and hence encourage followers who are also leaders to look to see where they can improve the system, where they can change and move and adapt. So essentially, that's how I fuse the two together, is from that lens of that vision.
Oh, that's great. So for people who want to learn more about Carol and the work she does, visit radianceresources.org. To read the online version of Natural Awakenings magazine, visit naturaltwincities.com. You can find a podcast of this show on am950radio.com, on Apple and Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. You're listening to Green Tea Conversations on am950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and we will be right back. Green Tea Conversations, where we delve into the pages of Natural Awakenings magazine and talk to the professionals who share their expertise on natural health with you. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, and today we're talking with Carol Burton, who is the founder of Radiance Resources and the host of Radiance Real Talk podcast. So just before the break, we were starting to talk about the connection between adaptability and alignment when it comes to creating a daily equity practice. And yes, you were sharing with us about the model of adaptability. And so how does that kind of tie into the alignment piece?
So with the adaptable leader, the adaptive leadership mindset, what happens is that when the leader, metaphorically speaking, steps into the balcony as an overview, to look at how everything is moving, they look for the gaps and they look for what is aligned essentially and what isn't from a literal perspective. As they see the gaps, they invite the followers to come up into the balcony with them to look at it, the whole situation from that perspective. What happens in that is that as the leader is very follower-centered, the alignment occurs when the leader reaches back to the followers, who are also leaders, to have them come together to figure out a way to fill the gap, to fill the void, and to strengthen what is working well. So in a family unit, the same exact thing happens. As an example, when my sister and I were taught that we could not fight anymore, we had to figure out a way to get along. So what happened was that we actually created, and I didn't know this at the time because I didn't have the language, an organizational design to do that through how we communicated, how we interacted. Now, I'm saying I love my sister dearly. We talk almost every day, and she drives me crazy. She drives me to, she, right? And I do too. We test each other, but we're pushing and pulling each other with love and respect. And anytime we have a disagreement as far as what we don't see as alignment, we work in the alignment space so that we can come to a conclusion. That's the secret sauce of how our sisterhood has been able to sustain in a way that we've conquered. And it was a conscious choice. Remember, we opted into it. So there it is again with the daily equity practice. So that's how we aligned. And so hence, that's how I align with others, regardless if they agree with me or not. I'm always finding that common ground. Yeah. And that's what adaptability does. It's finding the common ground through opting in, through being accountable, and then hence aligning. That's how I see it happening.
That is beautiful. So one thing that I just want to kind of mention to you, which I think is so important to this conversation as well, is the work that you do really helps people to really be able to understand themselves.
Correct.
And I always say the most important thing a leader needs to know is themselves.
Yes.
They need to know why they act the way they do, yes, why they think the way they do, why they react the way they do. And you really, the work that you're doing really helps people to come to terms with that, really helps people to understand themselves. So thank you for that work.
Thank you.
But I want to let our listeners know that Carol also contributed an article for our September issue of Natural Awakening's Twin Cities. And the article is called The Spiritual Dome Prayer Vigil, An Invitation to Join In. So, Carol, could you explain to our listeners what the spiritual dome is and how the prayer vigil kind of came about?
So the prayer vigil was formed out of a journey that I went on after George Floyd's murder. Mm-hmm. And I was actually summoned to create that prayer vigil. I recognized that I needed to do something. I needed to figure out a way that I could connect with the world to say, we've got to come together. It is so important now. And I chose to align myself with the world through a prayer vigil, very simply. And how the prayer vigil formed was in a spiritual dome that actually the center hovers over Minneapolis and the St. Paul area of Minnesota. Specifically, it hovers, it started really at 38th and Chicago Avenue, where the incident occurred with George Floyd. And from there, it was an invitation. So I asked people in the prayer journal, wherever they are on their spiritual journey, whatever that looks like. If people set intentions, if they create mantras, if they manifest, if they pray, whatever that looks like, to join in as a collective, because I firmly believe that we are creating, as a global community, we are creating a new book with a new path and a new language. And the spiritual dome offers that. It offers a place for refuge and safety from a spiritual perspective. It also houses amazing intentions, amazing prayers, as well as it creates resources. It creates a center space, if you will, for new ideas, for innovation, for creativity, of how we need to connect and come together collectively as people from our spiritual selves. It strengthens us in ways that we don't even recognize. The great thing is that it's virtual. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go anywhere but in yourself and in your heart, and to come out and just tuck it in the back of your head. That's all I'm asking for that prayer. It's reached over 5 continents. I'm pretty sure it's probably reached the 6th of Africa. And it's been a fantastic wealth of warmth. That's where a lot of my creative space is coming from. Mm-hmm. And I talked to people before I wrote it. So I didn't write it until mid-June. It got created May 30th. And then I've been sharing it. So quietly, very quietly, I've been sharing it to people. You know, it's not on social media or any place like that. You know, so when you asked me to do it, I thought, this is the time. This is the time to bridge this and make it bigger, to really strengthen that dome as we change and shift in our lives as human beings and as citizens of the universe and of the world, I should say.
It's really, I'm so glad that you did. I'm so glad that you accepted the ability to submit the article, because I think it's going to really help a lot of people. It's so powerful what can happen when we come together as a collective. And, you know, everything we create as a collective, we've created together anyway through our thoughts and our ideas.
Sure.
And this is just another way where we can help to make that shift, where we can help to make it better for everyone. So thank you so much for that.
Yes.
And thank you for being with us today, Carol. For people who want to learn more about Carol and the work she does, visit radianceresources.org. Thank you for joining our conversation as we awaken to natural health. To read the online edition of Natural Awakenings magazine or to check out our complete online calendar of events, visit naturaltwincities.com. You can find a podcast of this show on am950radio.com, on Apple and Google Podcasts. You've been listening to Green Tea Conversations on am950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, and I am wishing for you a lovely day. Lovely day, lovely day, lovely day.